What is up, Aztec fans? Welcome back to the Spear Sports Report, part of the Daily Aztec Podcast Network. I'm your host, Luis Lopez, and before we get into today's episode, let's just give you guys a quick rundown of what's going on the Mesa this weekend. Starting off, we'll take a look at men's basketball. The number 22 ranked team will wrap up its two-game series against Boise State with a senior night matchup on Saturday in their last game of the year at Viejas Arena. The team is coming off a huge 78-66 win in overtime Thursday night that put them atop the Mountain West standings ahead of the Broncos, so obviously another big matchup on Saturday. We'll see if they can separate themselves in that first-place standing. Taking a look at baseball now, they're going to take on UC San Diego in a four-game series as part of the Tony Gwynn Legacy Series. The teams will play over the weekend with a doubleheader on Sunday. The first two games will take place here at Tony Gwynn Stadium, and Sunday's doubleheader will take place over in La Jolla on the campus of UCSD. Aztec baseball is 2-1 so far after taking 2-3 last weekend against the University of San Diego. Heading over to a different diamond now, softball will take on Washington in a three-game series over the next 2 days. The first two games will be part of a Friday evening doubleheader, and Game 3 will take place on Saturday at 1. Softball currently stands at 5-1. They opened their season with a 5-game win streak, but it was snapped on Wednesday with a 14-0 loss against number 1 ranked UCLA. Looking at Aztec women's basketball now, they're going to finish up their road schedule at Boise State this weekend. They'll play the first game Friday, and they will play again on Sunday. They're going to wrap up their entire regular season on Thursday with a matchup against Utah State at Viejas Arena. Looking at water polo now, the number 17-ranked Aztec team will take on the number 9-ranked UC Santa Barbara team in a top 20 matchup on Saturday. The two teams will face off for a couple games in a doubleheader. Those games will start at 12. SDSU volleyball will play its 5th and 6th consecutive matches at Peterson Gym on Friday and Saturday. The Aztecs are going to take on the Nevada Wolfpack starting at 6 p.m. Friday and again on Saturday at noon. Let's take a look at women's lacrosse now. They're going to head up California over to Berkeley to take on Cal on Sunday. The team is currently 1-2 through their first three games. Heading over to the pitch now, Aztecs men's soccer is hosting number 5 Stanford at home this Saturday at 6 p.m. Last weekend, the team played their first match in 463 days on the road against UCLA. The game ended in a 1-1 draw after extra time. So we'll see if they can get back to their winning ways against Stanford. Looking at tennis now, both the men's and women's teams are going to take on UC Irvine at home over at the Aztec Tennis Center. Those days' matchups are scheduled to kick off at 12 p.m. on Sunday. So obviously a lot of big stuff going on. But looking at today's episode, we're going to talk to Brevin Honda, Daily Aztec staff member. He's going to talk to us about a couple of his beats. So yeah, full and double duty today. We're going to talk to him about volleyball. They're currently 3-3 so far. 7th place in the Mountain West. So we're going to talk about what their season has looked like these 6 games in and what he expects to see out of them the rest of this year. Then we'll talk to Brevin about women's basketball. Their season certainly has not gone the way they'd like it to, but they do have a few games left, and the Mountain West tournament is coming up in a couple weeks, so we'll talk to Brevin about why their season hasn't quite gone the way they want it to, and if they can make some noise in this Mountain West tournament. So, once again, we'll be right back with Brevin Honda. All right, welcome back to the Spear Sports Report, everybody. Joining me on the show now, none other than the Brevin Honda, volleyball beat writer, women's basketball beat writer. Brevin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Luis?
I'm good. Excited to talk some of these sports with you. So let's go ahead and talk volleyball first. Now, they're 3-3 so far this year, currently 7th place in the Mountain West. And, you know, the first thing that jumps out when you think about this team, they got a brand new head coach in Brent Hilliard. So, Brevin, you know, from what you've seen so far, from what the players have said so far, what kind of impact has Hilliard had on this team these 6 games in?
Yeah, he's a big impact. You think about him, he has Olympic experience playing in some past summer games. Even his assistant coach that he hired last year and Steve Timmons, both of them have high Olympic experience, played a lot of collegiate ball, and, you know, just a really – you know, it's kind of like a breath of fresh air is what some of them called it.
How have some of the players adjusted to having a new coach? Because obviously anytime you get a new staff member like that, that's going to have a big impact on the way you play.
Yeah, and it does. I think it depends on what the coach wants out of his players. And that's been one of the quote unquote silver linings that he has said when I've talked to him over the past pretty much year, of having those 12 months to prepare for a season rather than just having 7 months with the team and just a few months with the incoming freshmen.
So you just brought up some of those freshmen. What has been the difficulty of getting them to adjust, especially in such a unique season like this? I mean, you look at players like Tatua Fairborn. How have they performed so far? What kind of impact have they had on the team? And what kind of impact do you think they're going to have going forward?
Yeah, with most freshmen, you know, they're used to just, you know, sitting the bench their first year and, you know, taking it all in of how this program is going to be run and things like that. But, you know, one player that's kind of been a little bit different has been, Kennedy Fairborn, the setter, with junior setter Cameron Machado out with an injury. And so she's had to step up with her along with Ashley Vanderpan at that setter's position.
Now, with all the things that, you know, are going on this season, no fans, a conference-only schedule, what is the biggest challenge that this team has to overcome?
I think, you know, it's just finding that chemistry. And I think that's kind of been one of the difficult things about this early going. Yeah, they were able to find, you know, the chemistry early on last, you know, in the year leading up to opening day a few weeks ago, you know, and that was kind of the big challenge. Now it's finding that stabilization. Talking to Coach Hilliard 2 weekends ago when Yasex played their first conference games at home, he said he wanted to find more stability in terms of having a consistent lineup and trying to find that consistency and turn it into wins, and it showed over the last few matches.
Now, I want to bring up the way this season is set up in terms of the schedule. I just mentioned it, you know, conference only. So there's these two-game series. What kind of an impact has that had on the team, and how has Hilliard approached that schedule?
Yeah, it's just taking it game by one. It's kind of, personally, it's hard to believe that we're more than a quarter way into the season, you know, being six matches in. It's kind of just taking it game by game, realizing that, you know, this 16 games, you know, is four conference championship, because, and also the first place team gets the automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. And when you have a coach that's been to the NCAA tournament before, when he was at USD, you know, he's going to have those NCAA tournament aspirations for this ball club as well.
Was Hilliard a fan of that, you know, just having the regular season qualify who's going to make the NCAA tournament?
Not really. I think he was, you know, he wanted to have those non-conference opponents as well in his schedule. You know, you look at with COVID-19 and the pandemic, it's kind of had to cut some opportunities for teams across the country and even conferences here in the United States. And you look at, you know, the Mountain West is taking a big hit. You look at other programs, but when you look at volleyball in general, you know, it was kind of tough for them, you know, obviously financially, you know, and so, and because of that, they had to result in a 16 game conference schedule and, you know, not potentially have a conference tournament as well.
Now, obviously, you know, the NCAA tournament would be towards the end of the season, and looking a little bit past that, just like all the other sports, seniors are going to have the chance to have that extra year of eligibility. Are any of the seniors on this team, Lauren Lee, Aaron Gilchrist, Albie Pugh, is there anybody who's thinking about using that extra year?
I haven't asked that question. I think, you know, I think it all depends on where they're at in terms of their academics and their eligibility. You know, I think they would always love to play another year of volleyball. I mean, who wouldn't? But it's one of those things where it's, you know, they're student athletes and it's what they do in the classroom as well as what they do on the court.
Now, Brevin, looking at the whole roster, is there a player on this team that you maybe think kind of gets overlooked a little bit in terms of like the talent level on this roster?
Yeah, I want to say it's probably going to be sophomore outside hitter Naya Blair. She's, you know, obviously being that sophomore, you can kind of get forgotten after that first year. She's been a really good outside hitter in terms of, you know, providing that dynamics to that group. You think about Victoria Sullivan, and with her having 20 kills this past weekend, you think about, you know, your other hitters and Aaron Gilchrist, the senior on this ball club. But with the way Nia Blair being a sophomore, the way she can get up and get some points for this ball club is huge.
Now, the answer to this next question, perhaps maybe it's, you know, Nia again. Who is this team's MVP so far? You know, they're 3-3. Obviously, they're looking to do a whole lot more, trying to get up the conference standings. Is there a player that you think right now is the MVP?
I'm probably going to have to go with who I just mentioned in Victoria O'Sullivan, a junior outside hitter. She ranks third in the conference in kills per set at 3.76, and she ranks fifth in the conference in points at 86.5 points total and 4 points per set. And that shows you, you know, her ability to score when the team needs it. You know, talking to Coach Hilliard a couple weeks ago, you know, he said, you know, they rely on O'Sullivan to get points when they need to.
All right. And then final volleyball question for you. You know, again, seventh place in the conference right now, but where do you see this team ending up at the end of the year? Can they potentially compete for that tournament bid?
Oh, definitely. What I mean, you know, I've meant, you know, I don't know if you saw this recap, but from, you know, when I covered this, their series a couple weeks ago, you know, there was this one moment when Coach Hillier said their one play could change a season. And that play came during that first win that Hilliard got when they were down 24-21 and facing set point three straight times. And pretty sure it was Blair who came out and served up all five, who eventually served the ball to get SDSU's five consecutive points to win that set. And eventually they went on to win that match. And talking to Coach after that game, he said that's a moment that could change your season, and that could be the difference in getting that momentum. So definitely, if you can make plays like that, if you can have comebacks like that, you know, this team can go a long ways.
All right, perfect. Well, Brevin, listeners, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to stick around with Brevin, and we're going to talk some women's basketball and what their season has been like so far. So listeners, Brevin, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Still here with Brevin Honda, volleyball and women's basketball beat writer. And now we're going to get into this women's basketball team. You know, they've had a rough go of things so far. 6-15 overall, 4-11 in the conference, good for eighth place. Brevin, the first question I'll ask you is just, why has this team struggled so much this year?
Yeah, a lot of it's been injuries. You look at their leading, you know, their leading point guard that they look to, and so junior guard Sophia Ramos, she was hurt for 10 weeks out with a hand injury. So that kind of took a toll on the season. And you look at, you know, freshmen who've had to step up in her absence, as well as senior Taya Adams being out for a little bit. So just pretty much been injuries on top of, you know, not really having that same mentality with COVID-19 and how it's really changed everybody.
So Brevin, you know, you mentioned some of the issues they have right now. What do they need to do to finish this season strong? You know, you wrote in your column a little bit ago that, you know, they're getting depth at the right time. So what do you think they need to do to finish the season the right way?
Yeah, it's just all about, you know, pretty much you said it, just getting that timing back, you know, with getting Sophia Ramos back, you know, Taya Adams back, you know, with also you have Mallory Adams back. They're not related, but, you know, you get all these players back on top of the depth that you have with Mercedes Staples and Alex Crane and Kimberly Villalobos and those players down in the post, you know, just all about getting their timing back for ahead of the conference tournament.
And, you know, you did mention the return of, you know, Sophia and Taya. How important has their return been overall? Because, you know, they're two of the, you know, like the leaders on this team. So obviously them coming back after a long layover and, you know, coming back at this point in the season would have a pretty big impact, right?
Yeah, it does. You know, when you can have a leadership like that for a total of 7 years on your ball club between Taya and Sophia, it's huge. You know, you look at Sophia, you know, coming back in her first game, scored over 1,000 points, but then you see the next game, she's using her vision and getting a career high 10 assists. That shows you that she can put the ball in the basket or get the ball in the basket in multiple ways. And you think about Taya, you know, this past weekend on Saturday, giving us pretty much a moment to remember with her last second shot to give the Aztecs a win over Fresno State. It's just huge. And, you know, giving this team confidence ahead of the conference tournament in a couple weeks.
You mentioned that last shot from Taya the other day. You know, what has her career meant to this program? Because the other night, you know, they honored her with senior night. This looks like it's going to be her last go around. So how big has she been to this program in her time here on the Mesa?
It's been huge. When we talked to head coach Terry Hudson about Taya, you know, she was really that first guard that wanted to come to SCSU. And so as a result of that, you've seen other guards come to the program, and you see this, the building of this depth of the program, especially at that guard position. You look at Sophia Ramos, you look at Isabella Hernandez, you look at Alex Crane, Mercedes Staples, a couple of transfers who come to SCSU. And, you know, you look at Asia Avenger as well in terms of freshmen. So, you know, it's really built in, you know, the guard depth, and, you know, Taya's been that first guard to come to SDSU.
Now, you just mentioned her in that list of transfers right there. I do want to talk about Mercedes Staples for a little bit. She seems to have come onto the scene in a really big way. So, you know, as we see Taya, you know, take her, you know, last couple games now, it seems like Mercedes is kind of becoming an emerging star on this team.
Yeah, she's, you know, the junior guard. She transferred from Minnesota a couple 2019, and, you know, she leads the conference in points at 12 and a half. She's second in the conference in rebounding at 6.6 a game. She's second in the conference in defensive rebounding, and, you know, she's one of those players that's just gonna put the ball down and, you know, just head to work.
Now, you know, looking forward, I mean, they signed Terry Hudson to an extension this past offseason. Is there a current player that her and the coaching staff are kind of hoping will take the next step next year? Because obviously, you know, in each year of her contract, she's going to want to become better and better and hopefully start competing for Mountain West titles. So is there a player right now that they're hoping can ascend to that next level?
I think it'd probably have to be one of the freshmen that they have, you know, whether that's Kimberly Villalobos or, you know, Kamara Gibson, or if not one of them, it's probably got to be Isabella Hernandez. And, you know, those three, you know, a lot of talent that they have. You know, Kamara can play some guard if she needs to. She can play down low in the post if she has to. You know, rebounding is a big factor. You know, with Kamara, you know, she rebounds a heck down there inside the paint. You know, she's up there in the conference in terms of rebounding statistics, you know, and so I think probably if it's any one of those, it has to be one of those three.
Now, Brevin, I want to ask you, you know, who the team MVP has been this year. Usually, you know, we look towards someone like Sophia, because in my opinion, I think she's the best player on this team, but, you know, she obviously has a long layover with injuries. So who kind of took the reins this year as the top player on this women's Aztec team?
That's tough. I think about Mercedes, you know, and what we just brought up, you know, you think about Taya and her senior leadership that she's brought to the team. And, you know, we brought some of these other players up, but I'm going to have to go with Taya Adams. You know, just the senior leadership is so vital in college basketball, whether it's men's or women's, you know, not getting that pressure gets you in times like what we saw on Saturday. You know, it's just executing the play and doing what it takes to help your ball club get a victory. And yeah, I'm going to have to go with Taya on this one.
Now, you know, as Taya leaves, and again, we go to that Terry Hudson extension, do you feel like this program is heading in the right direction? Obviously, these past couple seasons haven't been exactly where they want to be. But when you sign an extension like that, you have to think that your program is going to get better and better each year. So, Brevin, do you think that this program is heading in the right direction?
I think they are. When you look at this team beginning of the year, they were picked to finish fourth in the conference. There was the Aztecs even had a first place pick, and that showed you the type of team the Aztecs had. Coach Terry Hudson said this was one of her deepest teams that she has, you know, with having all these guards, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, at least 8 guards in her program, you know, and having to move them around, you know, and trying to get them to play, it shows you how deep this team is. And when you add that to being fourth in your conference, when you have 1,000-point score, you have two players on your team that were on the all-freshman team a couple years ago, and Mallory Adams and Sophia, you know, you're going to have that talent, and it's going to lead to, you know, having honors like being fourth in the conference.
All right, Brevin. And then last question of the day, you know, this regular season, it's kind of a formality at this point, but they are still going to go compete in the Mountain West tournament in Las Vegas in just a couple weeks now. So Brevin, I'll ask you, you know, again, we've brought up the depth, we brought up some of the players that they're getting back. Any chance they can make at least a little bit of noise in this tournament? What do you think?
Oh, definitely. If you think, you know, with the way Sophia plays, you know, if the way Taya plays, and you have, you know, a 90-95% Mallory Adams who returned back in January from her surgeries that she had, you know, it's, this team's unstoppable. And those were three players that were on that 2018-19 team that got that upset victory over who two seed at that during that tournament in New Mexico. They got to the semis and defeated New Mexico in the quarter. So definitely they could easily make a run at this with the depth that they have. You know, if they can rebound the basketball and create possessions, that's going to be key for this team heading into the tournament.
All right. Well, Brevin, we appreciate it. That's going to do it here for this episode of the Spear Sports Report. Any final shout outs you want to give, Brevin, really quick before we head out here?
No, not really. Just thank you for having me on here today on the Spear Sports Report.
Of course, anytime. You know, you're always welcome here, Brevin. Really quick, you know, before we take off, I do want to tell our listeners, be sure to follow Brevin on Twitter at Brevin Honda. He's constantly giving updates on all his beats and constantly giving you guys coverage of SDSU sports. So Brevin, once again, thank you for coming on today.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, guys, well, that is going to do it for today's episode of the Spear Sports Report. Wanted to thank Brevin Honda once again for stopping by and talking to us. And I wanted to thank you guys for taking some time to listen. We certainly appreciate it. And if you guys want total coverage of San Diego State sports, please be sure to follow us at DS Tech Sports on Twitter. We're constantly giving game updates, stand-ups, and posting some of our articles on there. So we do appreciate it if you gave us a follow on there. So once again, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.